Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you can close the door. I haven't. Well, here we are, Dormant Night, for another week, and we can talk about anything we want tonight. Yeah, I've been a bit lazy. I don't have anything to talk about, so I'm giving it free form to the users. Talk to me about the books you've been reading. Talk to me about what you think of the presidential race. Talk to me about anything you want. I'm 1 minute in and I'm already running out of things to say. I need an audience. What would you like me to talk about? Come to the chat room. Give me something to rant about and I will. Let me see what's going on in that chat room. Oh, there we are. Hey, the Colt's in the chat room. Merry Christmas, Colt. What do you want to talk about tonight? When you're ready, give us a call, and you can take over the microphone. We're live on Norman Knight. I'm looking at my Twitter feed right now. Let's see some of the things people are tweeting. Well, here's one from Advice to Writers. What do you think about this, audience? Autobiography is an unrivaled vehicle for telling the truth about other people. What do you think of that? For the New York Times, GOP nominating fight offers Democrats a welcome distraction. I don't know what we're going to come to with that. I had all these people told me that they'd call. We moved the show back to 9 o'clock. Well, it's been at 9 o'clock for a month. I don't know. Maybe I should just stick to a half hour for a while. It's really depressing. It's really depressing not working. I've been doing a lot of different things, and I've been reading a lot and writing, but I'm not going to work every day. And mostly, I don't have a whole lot of money coming in. And, you get used to a certain way of doing things. And like today, I wrecked a tire today, so I had to get a new tire. $140, right front on my Jeep. I tore the sucker up. I don't know what I did to it. I don't remember anything happening. Maybe it just wore out and popped, or I don't know what it did, but this copper tells me I got a flat tire, and, I had to figure out what to do. Well, figuring out what to do wasn't the hard part. Figuring out how to pay for what I figured out to do. Now, there was a different story. And it made me think about all these people out across America. I'm like, I have to scramble and find money for a tire. I can't even imagine what it must be like scrambling to find money to feed your kids or make it warm enough in the house so your kids don't have to wear jackets and sweaters to bed. And there's lots of people out here. I read something this week that really sort of depresses me. The three heirs of the Walton family have a greater net worth than the bottom 30% of the American population. Now, what are we supposed to do about something like that? But you can reach me here at Norm at Night, even if you just want to call and say hello, 347-945-6713 is the number. Maybe I'll just tell some people to call Norm at Night and see every student's at risk, somebody writes. So what are we supposed to do about it? How do we do something about it? I want to do something about it, and I feel helpless. I feel ignored. One interesting thing happened on Twitter also. I got to talk about the labor theory of value today with someone. There's a budding, I don't know what you call him. But she's a woman in Chicago. Reminds me a lot about some of the things I used to spout when I was about her age, you know, and all of a sudden you know all the stuff is right and you know you can't do anything about it, no matter how hard you try. Lenin tried. He came as close as anybody's ever come. And then the wackos take over. They start killing people. It's always the way it happens. We always start killing people. I don't quite understand it. Oh, I don't know. I guess people on... somebody's now saying they don't want to make the same mistake that they made in 2011. Get all my homework done tonight, no matter how late I have to stay up. Yeah, if life were so simple. Well, I hope it is. I want my life to be that simple. Give me a call on Norm at Night. What mistakes did you, you know, that's an interesting topic. What mistakes did you make in 2011? 347-945-6713. That's the number. Talk to the fat left-hander. Or wait a minute, I'm not supposed to say that anymore. I don't know. Maybe my big mouth's what's got me in all this trouble. You know, maybe nobody will give me a job because, oh, I don't know why. I don't care why nobody will give me a job. I don't want a job. I want to do something. You know, the difference between a job and wanting to do something? When I think, you know, Newt Gingrich, historian, Norman Constantine, historian, $344 a week, $1.7 million for a couple hours' work from Fannie Mae. That may be an exaggeration. Please don't quote me on the accuracy of it. But you get the general flow of the idea. Let's see if we got anybody else in the chat room. Nope, just the cult. I don't know. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, I suppose I could be just normal. We could talk about the Newtster, Newt Gingrich. No telling what he's going to say next. The Palestinians, an indented people, what do you think of that? Do you have any feelings or ideas about that? I mean, let's face it, who wants to take us to war against the Iranians? And that's just insanity. I have a very, very close friend who's an Iranian. And I can't imagine ever wanting to fight him or him me. I don't, where does that visceral hatred come from? I guess nobody's listening to Norm. Let's see what some more of my tweeters have to say. Wait, where did it go? Oh, shoot. Oh, I see what I did. I'll go home. Let's see what we've got coming along the tweet lines. Looking for classroom to Skype with two communities. That would be great. I'd love to. I stood in front of a classroom anymore, but I don't. All right, enough. I'm not going to cry my blues anymore. Work is play. Kids just want to have fun. You know, people, they say these things like, it's like a revelation, an epiphany. Of course, all human beings just want to have fun. I mean, okay, silver white winters that melt into spring. Where do we go from with that line? If you got something to say, have a chat. Well, I got it. Let's see, the English teacher. She writes, work is play. Kids just want to have fun. My team teacher and I were standing in the hallway. Hot dog. There's an article attached to this, so let's see what it has to say. Diary of a public school teacher. Okay, I'm going to read you this blog entry. Work is play. Kids just want to have fun. My team teacher and I were standing in the hallway this morning when she walked over and whispered, if I were a kid with all this testing, I wouldn't want to come to school either. Guess. No, actually, I know exactly what she means. School has become the most boring place in the universe for these kids. You think they're the first ones that have been bored by it? A large percentage of our students are bored with school. Revelation! Standardized testing is a huge culprit, along with its accomplice, data. When this is the focus of your classroom, how can I say this politely? Your classroom is a huge yawn, and you can't fully blame the teachers by any means. Their jobs are on the line. If they don't toe the line, what are we to do? I guess you can do what I did, but then you'd be here doing your show at night. Let's read on. Oh, I just finished teaching a unit on addition and subtraction with large numbers, and I did not want to provide the students with a handout with 25 to 30 problems. Instead, I said to them, I'm giving you $5,000, and you can buy whatever you want. First reaction, that is normal. Are you really giving us $5 million or $5,000? Well, no, but I'm going to let you shop on the internet with $5,000. Use the exact amount or as much of it as you can. Well, we grabbed our pencils and notebooks and headed to the computer lab. They were so excited they didn't even realize I was actually checking on how much they'd learned during the unit. So we got to the computer lab and I let them loose. They collaborated without being told, and it was amazing to watch and listen to them use their knowledge. The great part, besides being tons of fun, was that it applied to many other standards that connect to real life. Didn't you ever play Monopoly? That's where I learned to add and subtract. Avalon Hill War Games, where you got to count up the battle points, and you got to look at the statistical cards, and you learn to read data sheets. I didn't learn any of that stuff in school. I took the basics of what they taught me in school, which was to read and do addition and subtraction. And I went from there. Now this ends up all this to say, school should be a place students want to come. I agree. And the first thing we need to do is make school non-mandatory. Then we'll know if they want to come. No, school doesn't have to be fun at all the time, but it can't. But why can't it be fun sometimes? Why can't it be fun all the time? Learning is fun. Learning is expanding your world. Learning is looking to see how other people look at the world. Well, let me go back. Is anybody who's Nobody's commenting in the chat room about it. Let's go back to the studio page. Go ahead, Colt. You're with me again.
How's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going okay. I had a tough day today. Tore a tire off of my Jeep.
Oh, man. That can be rough.
$140 worth of rough. But the cop pulled up next to me and told me my tire was going flat.
Mm-hmm.
I still have no idea what I did.
Yeah. Mm. I have one tire that, you know, I have to, you know, it somehow loses more air than the other ones. I have no idea why, but, you know.
Right. That's how this tire was. But I had to hit something somewhere because it's just out of control.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to get a new one.
Oh, jeez. Well, I hope.
Yeah, no, it was not fixable. It was in the sidewall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so now, I guess this happens. You know, I had kind of nice tires on the Goodyear Wranglers, you know, with the raised lettering.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't afford one of those.
Oh.
So now I got three Wranglers and a black one.
Oh, okay.
The same tire. It's the same size. It has the same tread pattern. But it doesn't have those raised letters saying Wrangler.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, mine are Michelins, and I looked up the price on one, and it was like, you know, $238.
I said, damn. Right, it's
unbelievable. Yeah. So I look after my tires now. I don't want to buy another one.
Well, I thought about just, you know, calling AAA and saying, come put my spare on. No, and everybody, whoa, you mean you can't do that yourself? What the hell do I have triple A for if I'm going to do it myself?
Yeah, but you're going to sit there and wait for them. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I actually could have got, I mean, I got home. I stopped at the nearest gas station. Oh, this was another wonderful experience. I stopped at this gas station. There's this Persian guy inside. I think he was Persian. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, I said, can I have some quarters? For the air machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, if you fill up, you can have the air for free. And I said, I would love to fill up, except my tank is full.
Yeah, well.
I would have filled up to get the air for free. And he couldn't understand that there was no room in my gas tank. I might have been able to put a dollar or two in.
Yeah, yeah.
But he gave me 8 quarters. I filled my tire up, and it got me home.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was very weird. So what'd you think about the Newtster?
Oh, Newt. Yeah, he's a...
he's a man. You never know what's coming out of his mouth next.
Yeah, well, that's part of the complaint. I think you've probably heard of the Michael Savage thing. Where he,
I don't know.
Well, Savage is a, you know, talk show host and pretty off-the-wall guy, you know.
And, okay, I don't know him.
Okay, well, at one time he worked with Timothy Leary, I mean, way back at Berkeley. And
oh, so he's an old guy.
Yeah, so he's gone back and forth from like, conservative to crazy liberal to who knows what, but he's...
Whatever it takes to keep you on the radio.
But, yeah, well, now he's, a, you know, an off-the-wall conservative, you know, radio host. And so he offered Gingrich $1 million to drop out of the race.
Oh, I did hear that.
Yeah, yeah. That's
wasn't it $1.7 million?
No,
I thought it was the same amount of money he got from...
I only saw the million part of it.
Yeah. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. So he offers him $1 million to hit the road.
So I think he's a Romney guy, but you know, aside from the basic criticism, you know, his infidelity and his the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac thing and whatever, and his censure in the Senate and all, or in Congress. The last thing he said, look, America is only going to see you as
hold
what
on,
you
hold
are.
Hold on, I got a caller here.
Oh, okay.
Hey, go ahead. Hey, go ahead. Oh. You're on with Norm and Colt. Go ahead. Hello?
New person, speak.
New person, I think I turned you on.
Oh.
You're live. Go ahead.
Well, I'll finish my bit of story.
All right, well, you can, you know, it looks exactly like you. But go ahead. When,
right,
when you want to talk, I'll watch.
Oh, there's
you
a, I heard
in.
A voice.
Okay. Good. And I was listening to you guys on speakers, so there's going to be a delay when you call for people who are on the phone at times. So in any case, I'm here because you say you will chat about whatever you would like to talk about, and you were talking about Michael Savage.
You know Michael Savage, huh?
Well, I've listened to his show. Sometimes he's okay, at other times he's a little bit off the wall.
Yeah, that's more or less our conclusion. So if I could follow, I'll conclude what I was getting to. The last thing Savage said about Gingrich was, America will only see you as what you are, a fat old white man. And my first response was, so Santa Claus, you know, that's not a bad image.
So how did Newt react to the million?
I don't know that he's responded yet. That's, I mean, I can't imagine him accepting it, but I guess you never know. But, a lot of people are looking at him saying that, you know, the Obama people will just rip into him. Not for anything he says today, but for everything he said in the past, you know. And that's more or less it, you know. Obama's been, you know, sliced and diced, and he's pretty much squeaky clean. There isn't any more you're going to find on him. Whereas Newt has an a lengthy history. Let's just say that.
Well, you know, I don't worry about those kinds of things. I worry about the president. He sold me out.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, no, Obama will not get my vote. Hell no. You know, he's, there's no trust.
Well, but, okay, so, oh, what do I do now? Do I vote for Newt Gingrich?
Or I vote for Ron Paul, no matter, you know, write-in or not, or libertarian or whatever. He,
well, I heard, yeah, it's interesting.
You know.
I really, just from a historical perspective, there's people now talking about not just third-party candidates, but fourth and fifth.
That's probably a good thing. I think so, anyway.
That would be a wonderful constitutional crisis.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing.
The guy left us.
Oh, he did. Maybe he'll call back.
He seemed
to want to join the conversation, you know.
Yeah,
he's
just
got to
plug in on Norm at night. 347-945-6713 is the number, or you can Skype in right from the main board.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't see any point in voting for, you know, two corporatist shills, you know, one or the other. Doesn't make any difference at all to me. I mean, I imagine, yeah, you're going to get a little more. I don't, you know, with Obama, you'll get big government on, you know, more on the social end. And with a Republican, it'll be on the military and agriculture and oil. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to lose no matter what.
I forget. Had we talked about the Keystone Pipeline?
I think we have in the past. And I tend to support it. I don't have a problem with that at all.
So what if it breaks?
We deal with it like every other accident.
What if they... what about digging for natural gas in the Great Lakes?
In the Great Lakes? I didn't know they had gone that far.
Oh, yeah, they've been talking about that for years.
So
There's huge, whatever, deposits? I don't know, what do you call them?
Well, are we talking about shale? Because that won't work. You know, that I can tell you.
No, we're talking about natural gas.
Okay.
Not shale oil.
No, if you can do it to the Gulf of Mexico, and you've seen maps of the Gulf of Mexico, the incredible number of platforms and pipelines. If you can do it there, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, but the Great Lakes, you poison them and they're never coming back.
Well, I remember when you couldn't swim in Lake Erie.
Oh, Karen, that was all.
Remember that? Well, I mean, our parents' generation dumped pure waste right into the rivers and lakes.
City of Buffalo still dumps raw sewage into the lake when there's a big storm.
Oh, the backup, yeah. But, I mean, you remember when the rivers would catch fire and all that sort of thing.
Oh, I don't... That was the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland. I remember rumors of the Buffalo River catching fire, but I don't think that ever really happened.
I thought that happened in the 60s. It was the...
Well,
you
know what? It's why I love this freaking internet.
Hmm. Well, you may be.
I'm going to Google the Buffalo River. When did the Buffalo?
Yeah.
I don't know what I should Google here.
Right. Well.
What do you think?
I think I do remember something of that sort happening. It was in the
Buffalo,
the Buffalo Creek or the Black. Yeah, you know, there's the one that runs through the south area.
But oh my God, Buffalo River on fire!
Oh, there you are.
Arson suspected in Buffalo National River. That's not the one in Buffalo.
Mm.
The Buffalo River caught fire in 1968.
Ah, there we are.
And it wasn't the first time.
Yeah.
Okay, here's Restoring the River. This is an article from Buffalo State College. The Buffalo River caught fire in 1968, and it wasn't the first time. Like many urban rivers, the Buffalo River was polluted by the oil refineries, steel mills, and chemical plants that operated along its shores. There were no steel mills along the Buffalo River, and discharged waste directly into the river. The river was considered dead by the early 1970s.
Yeah, apparently there are fish in it now.
The Buffalo
River, you know,
has been disturbed. I remember them making a big deal about somebody catching a fish in the Buffalo River.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to fish on the Niagara River and the small boat harbor, and then we were told, don't eat anything, you know. And
But it was more like... It was more Lake Ontario. I don't think you can still eat anything out of Lake Ontario because of all the chemical plants in Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's healthy yet or not. I know it's much improved, you know, from when we lived there. And you remember Lake Erie, you could swim on the Canadian side, but not the American side.
Yeah. I remember they closed Woodlawn. Woodlawn Beach is open now. I was there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Okay. Oh, this is kind of disgusting. From its mouth at Lake Erie, upstream about 6 miles, the Buffalo River has been listed as an area of concern, meaning that severe pollution limits the way people can safely use the river. People fish for their dinner in the Buffalo River.
Yeah.
The problem is the fish appear to be unhealthy. 37% of all fish observed showed abnormalities such as deformities and skin wounds.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't think it was that bad anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I stand corrected there, Colt. The Buffalo River did indeed catch fire.
Yeah, I remember it was, you know, I mean, that was front page news. I mean, that was, of course,
the Buffalo River?
What's that?
Was Republic Steel along the Buffalo River?
If they were, I mean, they were way down the line, you know.
I thought the Buffalo River was a flour mill.
Yeah.
No, I'm having trouble even thinking about where the Buffalo River was.
Yeah, it runs through the south part of the city.
Right.
And I think... At the mouth of the river now, that's all a nature preserve. I think they call it the Tiff Street Farm.
Tiff Street,
or something
right.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. But there were some big chemical companies along the line there. What was it? Hannah Donner. It was a big coke plant. And I remember that one.
Oh, that's what Hannah Coke was on the Buffalo River.
Yeah, and they had these gigantic mountains of sulfur just sitting out there. I mean, you know, the wind blew it all over the place, but this stuff, it just had an incredible, you know, You can only call them mountains because that's what they look like, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
you see that all the time. I mean, coal and any kind of raw material. And this stuff was just dumped on the ground. And they had steam shovels moving it around. But that's an example how things were back then. You know, I mean, there was no EPA. There was nothing. There were no restrictions whatsoever, you know.
Of course, everybody was working. All the kids had food to eat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
Well, you know, I was trying to remember. Someone asked me where your dad worked, and I couldn't remember.
My father?
Yes.
He worked for Sears. He worked for Murray Trucking. He worked for Leaseway, which was a very big trucking outfit. And
was he a driver?
He was until he became a supervisor. And then he worked for FedEx for a while, and then he worked for he worked for General Motors on a contract, you know.
Uh-huh.
Where he was just there to teach people how to load rail cars, you know. So
uh-huh.
that was like a temporary thing, you know. But
sounds like an interesting job though.
Yeah, he did quite a lot of stuff.
Transportation.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The rail car thing was kind of interesting because they literally forgot how to load rail cars. They had no expertise. And someone had to go in there and show them how to build wooden frames in the cars and you know.
Now, were these the open cars or the covered?
Oh, covered, yeah. These were just parts.
They stopped shipping the whole cars. They would just
right.
ship the parts.
Yeah, so they were doing that, and they didn't know how to do it. I mean, that just strikes me as really incredible, but that did happen. And we've got situations like that today, too, where a lot of jobs are not being filled, you know, mostly machinists and welders. There's quite a few jobs like that where we have a shortage. People just did not, you know, the skills have not been passed on.
Yeah, it's no small task to be a tool and die maker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's even more complex now because you're using tools, you know, that utilize computer measuring and...
Well, you know, I mean,
you know,
but that's the other side of the coin. You know what? If you can get the specs, a computer can make anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Well, I don't know that they can do everything, but it seems like they're... pretty damn close, but then what will we do?
Well, that's a question that no one will address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've come to think that we used to think that a 5% unemployment rate, 4 to 5%, was like that would be a normal economic environment, and I think now that we're probably looking at 7% being the norm, maybe higher. I don't know.
My brother says, "Yeah, keep using email."
Well,
complain about people not having jobs. Keep using email.
Well, yeah. Well. I mean, I still send Christmas cards out. I know it's antiquated, but I still do it, you know.
Yeah, we say, well, I should say we, because that really isn't, does most of that.
But, you know, look on the other hand, look at the amount of packaging. I mean, the packages we send. Now, that's been growing at a tremendous pace. due to online shopping.
Yeah,
so,
but the post office doesn't get any of that business.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to get competitive then, I guess. Now, I just shipped 2 boxes out today. I use the USPS because I've got the large boxes that are a flat rate, $14.95. That works, you know. It's not like they can't do these things. They can't. Now they're talking about closing all these offices and whatever. It's a tiny fraction, you know. I mean, they're mandated to do a lot of things that are not cost effective. So we got to get away from that.
Well, but they do what post offices are supposed to do.
Well, then they need to charge the correct rate. If you're living in a cabin in the middle of Montana, you know, and you're getting airmail because that's the only way to get to you, you know, you need to pay
actually,
the price.
You're in the continental United States. You don't need airmail. First-class mail is there in 3 days.
Well, there are some regions that still, I believe, mostly in the Northwest, that you can't access them any other way. Of course, Alaska is another story.
Right. Well, and the other fact of the mail is most of it travels by air anyway.
Yeah, a lot of it does. Sure. But you know,
but Alaska, that's true.
But I think people have to pay the actual cost. You know, that the subsidy thing, you know, we have to get rid of that.
Well, you know what? This actual cost baloney. I'd rather pay subsidies to the post office than to BP.
BP? Okay. Well, that's oil. That's... Yeah, they don't deserve any.
Or Exxon or Mobil.
Yeah, well, they don't deserve any subsidies at all. The risk is not there the way it used to be. So there really isn't any cause for that, for either anyone in oil or natural gas production to have any subsidies. And I think the same is true for agriculture. I mean,
well, there's
The average farm.
There's still subsidies on. It's not a subsidy to make up for it. It's a subsidy to encourage you to grow corn.
Yeah, well, you know, ethanol is a loser. We all know that.
Tell them that in Brazil.
So if I get my Keystone pipeline, then maybe we don't have to grow all that corn.
Well, maybe. They say there's enough oil in the oil sand fields in Alberta for 200 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's another Saudi Arabia. In fact, this is probably going to strike you as strange, but by 2020, the United States could be an exporter of oil.
Right. I heard all that.
It looks like liquefied natural gas is going to come on real soon. I mean, within a few years. Because they've got so much gas. They've got all this natural gas, and there's no market for it. You know, what can you say about that? So it's going to go...
Hey, if you're out there at the Zubar tonight playing in the... trivia game. I wish I was there. I could be doing Norma at Night live from the bar at the zoo. I got to do that. That
yeah,
might be fun.
Yeah, you've talked about it a few times. So, well, then you could have people hook up right there. I mean, this place has Wi-Fi, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
And there are other people with laptops and whatever.
Now, yeah, you see people there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'd like other people to come to the zoo. We're trying to figure out all the, like, the rights and stuff. Like, what happens if I play the mute? Like, if I go there on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
And just plug into the mic feeds.
Hmm.
What, like, these bands don't pay the people any kind of money when they sing their songs?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, they're doing original work or what, you know.
Well, they do, but, you know, he does a B.B. King, they do a B.B. King blues song. They don't send B.B. King money.
Right.
Technically, they're supposed to.
Yeah, but they're never. To perform it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well, what
sure
you're supposed
that.
To do, the way I understand it, if anybody out there has more information on this, please give us a call, 347-945-6713. You pay money to this, like, fund.
Yeah. Mm.
And that lets you play the music, play anything you want.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I remember in elementary school, we would sing songs. They were mostly, you know, things from Broadway or whatever. And I don't remember anyone having to pay for that. I mean, kids would stand
well,
up.
Well, do you ever notice that you're in a restaurant and they sing somebody happy birthday? It's never the whole original song. They always change some of the words.
Hmm. I didn't know that. I mean, it hasn't happened to me very often, so I don't know.
Well, just listen when, you know, I like it better when it happens to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, here's another interesting article. Connecting the dots on the National Defense Authorization Act.
Oh, yeah. From this what I understand, it's loaded with pork, lots of amendments and what have you. All the stuff that they said they wouldn't do, it's there again. So.
Yeah, well, people will not realize that these Congress people don't represent the country.
Well, of course they don't. You know, see, there's, you know, you have, all right, we have our political parties, Republican, Democrat, whatever, and then the other, you know, small ones. But the issue is the state, the government itself. It's bigger than everybody else. And it just, it's like the blob. Remember the movie with Steve McQueen?
Uh-huh.
It grows, it eats everything, and it gets bigger and bigger. And when you get in office, you do what it says. It doesn't do what you say. It doesn't work like that. Now, they may give you a choice of A and B, and then you may think, oh, I'm in charge, I'll pick A. But remember, they gave you the choice.
That's true.
That's how that works. You know, my understanding is that when the first, one of the very first things the president does, right, the day after his inauguration, he sits down with all the security people, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, and they tell him what's going on. Now, they don't tell him he can stop any of this. They say, this is what we're doing in the world. A lot of it is very secret missions and programs and what have you. And that president is stuck with it. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean,
huh.
I think the CIA has had more to do with Middle East foreign policy than anybody. You think Hillary Clinton has much to do with what's going on, or even Obama? I mean, Obama just followed the game plan, you know? That's it.
Bloomberg Businessweek says Goldman Sachs is getting a hard time when they go try to recruit at the big colleges these days.
Oh, yeah. In fact, what's his name? Beauvais. He did some research on Goldman Sachs, and he says, again, this is one guy's opinion or analysis, but he thinks Goldman Sachs' profits over the coming year will be down 68%. So I'm like wondering what the hell's going on there, you know. I mean, are they on the hook for a whole lot of bad debt? There's every possibility.
Well,
but that's true for a number of those big brokerages. You can't touch them. I mean, you don't want to own any of those. They could blow up in a matter of days, and you wouldn't even have a chance to recover.
Well, like the theme song says, we got a lot of bad habits.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, additionally, I think I've been saying for weeks now, they didn't learn a damn thing. See, that's the unfortunate part about the TARP bailout and also the Federal Reserve, you know, loaning them trillions of dollars. As long as they were bailed out, they said, hey, what the hell? We could keep doing what we've been doing, you know. If you don't feel the pain, you know, then you keep on. That's the way it works, or that's the way they think.
Well, that's what capitalism is.
Well, see, capitalism, if it were allowed to work, they would have felt the pain. And it'd all be history now. But it isn't capitalism. It's corporatism. As long as you had Paulson as treasurer at that time, you knew all these banks were going to get bailed out. And Bush.
Well, which one should they let fail?
Well, they did let Lehman's fail. Bear Stearns nearly failed, but then they, you know, managed to sell it off for $5 a share.
Explain to our audience. The bank fails. What happens to my mortgage if they're holding it?
Well, it's unlikely. Well, most mortgages are still held by, you know, or guaranteed by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Now, if they're not, there could be a private insurer. But you don't, you know, the mortgage is going to end up with somebody, meaning that the creditors of that bank will get it. So, you know, as far as you're concerned, you know, you can still keep making your payments. That's no problem. But the ownership is, you know, changed hands, of course. I mean, that pretty much, that happened to me with Countrywide, you know.
Uh-huh.
My mortgage had been sold twice before that, before it ended up at Countrywide. Now Bank of America has it. And now it's insured by Freddie Mac. Oh. And I'm trying to get more information on the that mortgage assistance thing, you know, because I'd be, you know, really happy to renegotiate or refinance at, you know, 4%. Jeez, that would be great. Except that none of these banks want to do that, you know.
Uh-huh.
So.
Why not?
Well, why would you want to, you know, tie up $200,000 over 30 years at 4%? That's not the kind of money they want. They want more than that. So, anyway, that's, I don't know what to do with it. I mean, you know, I'm hoping I can do that, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm not going to be around when this mortgage is paid off anyway, so. And And if things keep going the way they are in California, hey, you know, I can see myself leaving here in a couple of years, you know. Much as I like the climate and everything else, I'm getting killed on utilities and water and sewage and garbage pickup, and it's really getting awful. So, I mean, I can't take these kind of hikes, you know. My water is going to go up 15% every year for the next 3 years, which is obviously 45%.
So you've been told that?
Yeah, I already know that's going to happen. And my sewage, I think that's even more. That's like 60% over the same time period. So, I mean, you know, they came up with this lame-ass excuse saying, oh, well, we decided to be proactive and we're going to start repairing our sewage system now, which is all the pipes and all that through the older part of the city.
Right, I understand.
So anyway, that's going to happen. But the timing is absolutely absurd. And I've also got to, you know, this is a government at both the city and county level that are running multi-million dollar deficits. I mean, they can't make their budgets. And they want to kill us on this stuff. I mean, you know.
I don't know the answer.
Oh, you know, well, this is going to repeat itself all over, you know, the other towns and cities around here, all facing the same thing.
The fact is, it comes down to, if you want services, you got to pay for them.
Yeah, that would be good, you know, except that, you know.
You know, don't cry the blues about fixing Social Security and then cut its income by giving little chintzy tax relief that means nothing in the individual tax relief.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this tax relief, you know, the one that reduces the Social Security tax is absolutely absurd.
I agree.
If I'm making $50,000 a year and you give me an extra $1,000, that's meaningless.
It is true it will get spent right away.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say. If somebody's making $50,000, you know, they're investing money or saving it or doing whatever, you know. I don't think they're likely to, you know, spend it the way an unemployed person would spend their money. See, I fully support extending unemployment insurance. That makes absolute sense.
It's a year now, I think.
Yeah. Well, I got 99 weeks, you know, nearly 2 years. So.
Wow.
That was a lot of money, you know. So I don't see why these other folks shouldn't get the same thing, you know. And you gotta remember with unemployment is that when you have people who are on the edge of, let's say, losing a home or losing the apartment or whatever, you know, it takes a long time to rebuild that. See, when they lose the house or the apartment and all the furniture and the rest of it, you know, they don't become functional again for many, many years, if they ever do. So that's a critical area where you want to keep people in their homes, even if it's the poorest situation there is, keep them there, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because the homeless thing, when people get to that level, then there's every other kind of problem, you know.
Hey, I got a little buzz in my ear. We're in the last 45 seconds.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully we'll see you next week, and tell your friends to call, and we'll see if we can have some more conversations. I feel bad we drove that guy away.
I don't think we did. I don't know. He just sort of dropped off. Yeah, it's hard to say. I guess we should have let them say whatever.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is Norman
Knight
wishing y'all a happy holidays right now. And in these last 10 seconds, think about Norm, and we'll see you next week.
Okay,
good night,
guys.
Carl.
Take care.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.